Okay, Chagas Olah this year, ladies, Sunday. It's 20th of Sivan, 7th of June, and Shir number 15. We're in the seventh. We're in the first of five ideas, concepts that a person has to internalize in order to become a bitachon. And the first of the five is to internalize the seven things of Perek Beis that they're true about Hashem. And we're up to the last one. It's a different order, as we said. So number seven here is number four. Matches up to number five in Perek Beis. But he says it differently. This is a puzzle, and I don't have a real good answer other than to say that this is what he meant in Perek 5, or in Perek 2. When you just read Perek 2, it sounds like, and this is when you have these magnets with the seven things of Perek Beis. I have them in my house, and there's one in Yiddish, and I have one in English, and one in Hebrew, and they always say it the way I teach it when I learn Perek Beis, and that is that Hashem is a track record. And that's in Perek Beis, he's not talking about Hashem, actually. He's talking about the seven things you need logically, in common sense, in order to have full-fledged bitachon, as defined in Perek Aleph, which is to be perfectly serene, or the new word now is equanimity. So, and he goes through seven things that logically, you know, you can make your own list, but he makes his list. And he says, if you don't believe Hashem is kol yachol, and you don't believe Hashem is a native, and you don't believe that no one can stop anything that Hashem wants to do, and you don't believe, you know, nobody can do anything to thwart the Ratzon Hashem, or again, he doesn't say Hashem. He's talking about, this is how you have. Now, number five in Perek Beis sounded like he was saying that the person has helped you in the past. He's been there for you in the past. But now when you get to Perek Gimel, it takes on a whole different, and here it's number seven. Number seven, there it's number five. It takes on a whole different, it says it differently, it's a whole different idea. It's a fundamental idea. I guess he couldn't say, I just realized he couldn't say it this way in Perek Beis, because we're not talking about Hashem, and in Perek Beis he's not talking about Hashem. So you can't say, and you'll see in a second what I'm about to say, you can only, when it's true about Hashem, then it's true full blast, as he says it here. When he's not talking about Hashem yet, he's just talking logically what it takes to have bitachon in someone or something or anything, then he has to say it in a limited way. I just realized now the teretz. Thank you, ladies. I didn't understand this for years. Thank you, thank you. The whole shiur's worth it. Baruch Hashem. That's why he says it in a minimalist way in Perek Beis, but now that he's talking about Hashem, he could say it in a maximalist way. No such word. What he's saying is that everything that happens to you is directed by Hashem. Everything that happens to you is a din and a gzar din. This is a tzubash gocha protis. No nonsense. It's a gocha protis. You don't get your nose bloodied unless you were supposed to bloody your nose then. Nothing happens to you. You're not going to get engaged 1 minute before you're supposed to, not 1 minute after you're supposed to. You're not going to have a child 1 minute. You want to know about inducing labor? Talk to me after the shiur. Inducing labor. The reason the poskim are all against it, except in case of a health issue, is for this reason. Child is supposed to be born at a certain time. Just because the doctor wants to play golf, it's not a good reason. They don't do that anymore, but they want to do it even if it's not mandated by health reasons. They just want to have an easier time of it. And the poskim are universally against it for this reason. And they say, you know, so everything's happening when it's supposed to happen. Now, I want to give a caveat. It's not really a caveat, because I'm not backtracking, but you read something like the Ramban, I quoted in the beginning when we started learning Shaar HaBitachon, the Ramban and Iyov, and Rabbi Abachya. Hashgacha Pratis can, sometimes there's a Hashgacha, I mean we say in Rosh Hashanah Davening, Bahamadinos bo ye omer, ezel achere, ezel arov. There could be a gzardin on a neighborhood. There could be a gzardin on a city. There could be a gzardin on a medina. There could be a, not everything, it's like concentric circles. There could be a hashkocha practice on a medina. Then let's say there's a gzardin on a medina, chas v'shalom tava magefa. So then, the individual, unless the individual has chusen to escape that, then they'll be caught up in the hashgacha pratis of the more general public. What happened to hashgacha pratis on this person? Of course, nothing will happen to this person unless they deserve it. But sometimes they're deserving it, that it'll happen to you. Call it lechatchila. Something will happen to you because you deserve it. And sometimes you don't deserve to be saved from the hashgacha pratis of the city. And in a milchama, in a magefa, people get killed. And if you don't have enough schusin to save you, then you'll be caught up in that gezeira. So that's not a stira chas v'shalom to hashgacha pratis, even though you'll say, well, that's hashgacha klalis then. Well, it's hashgacha pratis on a group. And there's still hashgacha pratis on the individual, in as much that if he has enough schusim, if he or she have enough schusim to be saved, then they'll certainly be saved. It's tougher to escape chevli Mashiach, right? You have to really build up your bank account of schusim. People are very fond, because they don't like the idea of hashgacha pratis. It gives them a headache. It's scary. And this is really what the Dor HaMidbar, their Averus, again, we won't go into it now, but their Averus were all to escape the Hashgacha practice that they were under. It's a tremendous pressure. Shvisi Hashem L'Negdi Tzomet is a tremendous pressure. The people want to escape the pressure. Now, again, you can't really escape the pressure because it's reality, you know. So you can ignore reality, you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. So lamais is reality, and even if it's hard, and even if it gives you a headache, and even if I can't live like this, I can't live like this, I can't live like this. Well, first of all, it's reality. And second of all, it's not that hard to live like that, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indeed medaktik im atzadikim kechut hasayra, but with ordinary folks like me, is Midas HaRachmin, and Chavetz is the first to keep insisting Hashem will do for you even if you don't deserve it. And that's what Midas HaRachmin was all about. And Hashem gives you another chance, the human, it's not that much pressure. The only pressure is to do your best. I admit, that's what it says in Chavetz HaLovus, that's what it says in Shari Tshuva, that's what it says in Chavetz Chaim, in Shemir Saloshim. You can't be morayed, it's like the Meraglim, Ach Hashem Al Timrotu. You can't be morayed against Hashem. You don't start up with Hashem. You don't fight Hashem. You know, mano a mano. You don't go in one to one slugging it out with Hashem. You do your best. And therefore, it's really not that much pressure. The way I understand it, I'm veering off into Musa now, away from Chavetz HaLovus. The pressure is not to give it to Yitzhara. You know, once you become aware, again, you know, I'm not being mad there, giving it to Yetzirah, but it's like, you fail and then you try again. You know, as long as you're trying and you're struggling, if you give in to Yetzirah and you say, oh, Hashem won't care just this once, I'll do an Aveira, that's terrible. Because you're going to find out he does care. Then what are you going to do? But if you sincerely fail, because, you know, it takes a lifetime of work to be really on top of everything. So that's Midas HaRachmin. So it's really not as much pressure as one would think. But where was I? A lot of people love, there's an Orach Chaim, a Kaddish in Parshas Vayeshev, that everybody likes to quote the saying, that a Baal Bechira can change the Gzeiros Hashem. And everybody loves that Orach Chaim. Even if he would mean it, It's a minority shita against the Rambam, the Ramban, the Rambachayim, Chazal always against like the whole list of things. Even if you would say it, it's not much of a refuge because everybody, the great philosophers and thinkers of Rishonim will say not like that. But that's, you know, women, I believe, don't say Tachanun. Right? Am I correct? Women, I believe, don't say Tachanun. What?
But we're supposed to. I don't
know. No, women.
I
won't go into it now. I know there's a universal meaning that women don't say Tachanun. Those who swarm on davening say women don't say Tachanun. Those who say they can't. Because they don't. Why they don't? I don't know if they shouldn't. I'm not going to say they shouldn't, but I know they don't. Or at least most of them don't. Anyway, the first part, we start off Tachanun, doesn't say anything worse than the Arachai. The Yom Dovid of God, if you ever peeked in a Siddur on that page, the Yom Dovid of God is a pasuk in Tanakh. Tzaru miyod, Niplon of the Ad Hashem, Ki Rabim Rachamod, Uviyad Adom al Apol. Dovid was given a choice of punishments. Because he counted the name Israel, and he said, "Better be Ad Hashem, Ki Rabim Rachamov, Uviyad Adom al Apol." So whenever anybody throws the Rachayim at me, I say, "What are you doing Rachayim for?" Me? Yeah, the Apostle in Tanakh that says it. Is it a taka? Hey, you see? The answer is that again, once you're Biyad Adom, you need more schusim to be saved. That's all it means. Of course, everything's bashkacha, and nothing happens to you unless it's intended to happen. But when you're faced up with a person meaning to do you evil, you need more schusim to be saved. If a person who's capable of hurting you is intent upon hurting you, so to be saved from him, you need schusim. It won't happen unless it's the Rosh and Hashem that it happened. But so to speak, pardon the expression, I hope, Hashem can be active and Hashem can be passive. Meaning, sometimes you deserve something and it happens to you, and sometimes you have schusim to be saved from it. When we say a davening while a medinos bo yeyomer, ezel lecherev and ezel lerov, so there could be a famine. The Gemara in Tainus, the Gemara all over Shas, is full of caseros on a city that there was a famine and a drought, and people were starving. When the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Holocaust. You need a lot of schusim to be saved when there's a hashgacha pratis on the tzibur. Then you're caught up in it, and you have to be saved from a cataclysmic event. You have to be saved from a catastrophe. Yeah.
What about all that Rosh Hashanah davening, tefillah, tzedakah, mitshuva?
It's all
tears up that, you know, zero or off.
What do you mean? What about it?
Well, doesn't it work?
It works. It works. It could work for the yachid. It could work for the clown. Of course it works. Again, you need more schusim to be saved. But what Chaim Halevi says, and I don't think the Orach Chaim means anything different than that. You need more schusim to be saved. And as I always like to say at the end, and by the way, the Orach Chaim says it about Yosef's brothers. Guess what? They didn't harm him. Hashem had the last laugh. So, you know, everybody, people that want to be contrarians, so I tell them this piece of Torah, and then I say, and by the way, the Taka couldn't hurt him, because it was Xavier, he was supposed to be the Mishnah Lamelech in Mitzrayim. So they thought they were going to hurt him, and he turned out to be the Mishnah Lamelech. So, haha, you see, even a Baal Bechir can't hurt someone. And the Gemara, it's called Mimokom Shaboso. What you thought was a proof one way turned out to be a proof the other way. The Michtam Eliyahu, ironically, has the following thought. It's an interesting thought, and it's ironic. It's mamish ironic. He says, a person with less schusim, but enough schusim to be saved, will be matzil the whole city on his behalf because of him. Because he doesn't have enough schusim that only he will be saved. So Hashem, so to speak, will have to save the whole city so that he can be saved. Because nothing's supposed to happen to him. But a person with more schusim won't save the whole city because he has enough schusim to be saved when the whole city is being destroyed. Mr. Melio explains the Gemara like that. The Gemara says that the Gemara describes a Zeo that was on a city and one person was saved and in another tzaddik, the whole block was saved. And the Rebbe said, oh, I see, you know, is he better than him? You know, the Gemara explained it, but it's a very unclear Gemara, and this is how Mr. Malio explains it. That sometimes you'll have this dynamic that the person with less chuyot will ironically save the whole city, like Lot. Lot wanted to be saved, so he said, let me go to Tzoar, and the whole city was saved because of that, because Lot didn't deserve to die then. So he saved the whole city, but a bigger tzaddik could have the whole city be destroyed, and he'll be saved. Okay, this is all getting off topic. The topic is, the Chagallah says, number 7 is, that everything that happens to a person happens exactly when it's supposed to happen, and to the degree it's supposed to happen, and you're losing as much money as you're supposed to lose, and you're gaining as much money as you're supposed to gain, and it doesn't happen a day earlier, it doesn't happen a day later, and you're as tall as you're supposed to be, and you're as short as you're supposed to be. Should you take hormones, come speak to me about it. Growth hormones, if a person's very short, now they have growth hormones, if they take, it's not so healthy, but a lot of things are not healthy if you do it. Okay. So he says, Zumishein, I don't know, it's sometime after the Hashvi, a couple of lines later. And he says, the problem is, and this is really one of the two or three most difficult things, that we look at a world of cause and effect. We don't see Hashem. We see a person got fired from his job because someone said he's no good. We see that someone lost money because a guy stole the money from him. That's what we see. And, yeah, that's what we see. And that's what the newspapers say. The war broke out because of this, and the stock market went up because of this, and the stock market went, and even the so-called from newspapers, no one's going to say, the stock market went up today because Hashem said it should go up. No one's going to say that. Not even Apelles. Nobody's going to say that. That's a private joke, you don't get it. Okay, they don't talk like that. And that, I feel, that's the pernicious effect of newspapers, is that it takes you away from the world in which Hashem is deciding what happens, and it brings you very squarely into the world of what we see as cause and effect. And there's always very rational explanations, and it makes a lot of sense, and you don't chap that they're always saying it after it happened. Right? They're always explaining why the stock market went up after it goes up. Because if they could do it before it goes up, they wouldn't be working for a newspaper. They'd be millionaires. And you could ask the same question on the people that write books, how to succeed in the stock market. What are they writing books for? They should just be very rich. Anyway, so... this is really the nisayon. Because then you have, why did I lose money? Because that fellow stole from me. So, okay, it's Hashem. Okay, so why should I take him to Beis Din? Everybody was the same questions over and over. You take him to Beis Din because the Torah provided for that. And you don't know that Hashem wanted you to lose the money. Maybe Hashem wanted you just to have the aggravation of temporarily losing the money, chasing after the guy, going to Beis Din, which is pretty aggravating. And when you say Hashiva Shoftayach Shoftayach Varishona, you can have a lot of kavana. Umi Sheinu Meivin Inyoni Olam Yashok Yasiba Mishadeshes Mechayev Shino Inyoni. Why is my nose bleeding? What do you mean, why? He punched me in the nose. That's why. And so we think, and we laugh at the thought that even if it would have punched me in the nose, my nose would have started bleeding now. But it's true. It's just Hashem knows the future. Hashem knows everything. So it was maneuvered in this way. I say over many times, right after 9/11. So I was in Eishat Torah then. Right? So they challenged me. It's so difficult to really believe. If the guy wouldn't have crashed the plane into the building, 3,000 people would have had heart attacks at that moment and died. It beggars the mind. So I said, that's foolish. It's silly. Hashem knows everything. So if the person wouldn't have crashed into the building, so they would have had different lives. This guy would have been a slave in Sudan, and this guy would have been a Filipino, and this guy would have been a Puerto Rico. But you could be sure that all 3,000 people die every day in the world. So they all would have died at that time, but they wouldn't have died sitting in their office building because the plane didn't crash. But they wouldn't have been them. They would have been someone else. They would have had different lives. They would have been different people. They would have been somewhere in Ethiopia starving to death. It's a silly question. You're thinking everything is the way it's supposed to be because the plane wouldn't have crashed. That's silly. Hashem runs the whole world. So these people were supposed to die at that moment. Sometimes Hashem likes to do things in an efficient way. Meanwhile, the whole rise of Yishmael is happening, right? A lot of things going on. Everything fits in Hashem has a master plan. Meanwhile, America and Obama and the Arabs and Islam, like who would have thought 20 years ago? Till 73, it was a joke anytime anybody talked about, Islam being a power. 73 is when they made the boycott of oil. That was a very big, major paradigm shift. People saw they really have koach. But it was still manageable until they started the terror. Then you have somebody like Obama, and the UN, and everything that everybody covers up for them. Right? So who would have thought we'd be holding where we are today? It went very fast. In 20 short years, the whole world changed over. The whole world changed over. Good as bad, evil as good. It's like, it's amazing is what Hashem could do. And it happened under our very nose, and you don't even notice it. And the morals couldn't be lower than they are. And it's pretty bad matzos. Okay.
Well, yeah. For non-Jews, is their life expectancy also determined the same way from the day they're born or whatever?
Do non-Jews have hashgacha pratis?
Yeah, the same.
That's a good question. Good question. There's different shittas about it. I can't give a definitive answer. From some Rishonim, it's mashma, this is something special to the Jewish people. From other Rishonim, it's mashma, it's something special about the human race. So animals or plants or grass, there's a famous Rambam shita that there's no hashgacha pratis. There's only hashgacha klolis on the min. Right? And then there's, we'll call it the Baal Shem Tov, even though it's not really a Rambam against Baal Shem Tov, but that's how it's known. Most people know that there are indicators, there's theories in Chazal, right? People know the Chazal, that every blade of grass has a malach that's hitting it and saying, grow, grow, grow. That would indicate that every blade of grass has a hashgacha, has a malach. There's other indications, like the Rambam. The Rambam says it very explicitly. But it's also mashma that it's only not the human race, not human beings. In other places, it's mashma only Jews. So that's not so clear. It doesn't seem like, this is hard, people. You think of the Holocaust, and you think of... See, the Holocaust is definitely... I mean, how do I know definitely? I'm not a Navi. Apparently, the Holocaust was definitely a gzeir on Klal Yisrael. It's not like the people became so bad all of a sudden. Tzaddikim, and the people were bad in other generations. The Holocaust was like unfathomable. It still is unfathomable. We're just used to it, so we talk about it, but it's an unfathomable thing. But that was a gzeir on Klal Yisrael, just like the Churban Bayis Rishon was a gzeir on Klal Yisrael, and the Churban Bayis Sheni was a Klal Yisrael, and the Golos is a gzeir on Klal Yisrael, and a gzeir on the Yechidim. It's a gzeir on the Klal. Does that mean there's no Hashgacha Pratis? No, it does not mean that. Again, I say, it means that to be saved from the general gzeir against Klal Yisrael, you have to really... Not to be swept up. You have to have a lot of schusim. And the more severe the gezeira is, the more midas adin the gezeira reflects, then the more you have to be really special to be saved. And the biggest tzaddikim aren't necessarily saved, Because part of the gzeira is that tzaddikim should also be caught up in this. It's part of the gzeira ra, part of the, that's part of it. Sometimes other out of the Gemara says the best people are taken away. It seems like sometimes. The Gemara talks about a tzaddik dying, so that he shouldn't see how bad things are getting. It's supposed to kneel. Right? Sometimes a tzaddik dies so that he shouldn't have the aggravation. It's much deeper than aggravation. He shouldn't have the tzar. I'm so seeing what's happening to Klal Yisrael. But our component, the Chayyus Allah is definitely saying here, and you can't have bitachon without this. You can't develop bitachon without a clear picture in your head that everything that happens is a gzeirah min shemayim. I told you all the exceptions, and I showed, I hope, how it's not really exceptions. But on the part, we're going about our business and we're living our daily lives and we're trying to make ends meet and trying to keep, pay our tuition and our mortgages and our rents and put food on the table and maintain our relationships with our friends, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. By and large, we're not living in a door, you respond, it's not that hard. We don't have to, in a previous norm, maybe we would not be supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. Because there was a Gzar Din Latova on Klal Yisrael that we should return to Eretz Yisrael. So that's why we're zoichet to live here today. We don't have more schusim than Moshe Rabbeinu to live in Eretz Yisrael. But there was a Gzar Din on the Klal, that the flow of history of Klal Yisrael deserves to be back in Eretz Yisrael. So now, we just have to, again, if Hashem doesn't want me to live in Eretz Yisrael, then no matter what I do, I'm not going to. And the best of people couldn't make it here and have to go to Chutz Lortz. Or as they say, go back to Chutz Lortz. Which I don't like to say. But, anyway, this is hard. The Chavis HaLobo says you have to understand that you're looking at cause and effect, but it's an illusion. It's not true. But it really doesn't make sense. In other words, if you really get into it, what caused World War I? Right? Someone's nephew got killed. I don't know. Someone's nephew got killed. Ferdinand. Somebody's nephew got killed. Right? So then there was a treaty, and then Russia, and then Germany, and then France, and then all of a sudden there's a world war. So the Siba, if you remember how the first intifada started, the plane crashed somewhere, crashed into some people. And it's, Chagalola says, logically, if you trace things back, right, a shidduch, right, a person said something to someone, things spring from the most inconsequential, casual, it doesn't even look like anything chashuv, and the biggest of trees grow from that. Because Hashem just needs a way to do it that's not a nace, that's all. But if you look at what caused World War I, what caused World War II, little things, right? How does an Obama become a president? Like a joke. Probably the most unqualified person to ever be president of the United States, except maybe if Clinton gets in, she'll take over the crown of the most unqualified. But that's what the real race is. But this is what Hashem wants. This is what Hashem wants. So like a little thing, a nothing, and it happens. Kashanira, now he gives an example of a kernel of wheat. Hagager echad nachita matzmiach shlosh meyom shibolim. That's the way the world works, right? And remember, the garen disintegrates in the ground before it grows. He gives another 300, 300 stalks come out of one seed. V'chol shiboles, a stalk has shloshim gagrim, has 30 more seeds, kernels. The agager echad, so that means this one gagrim will see the last of Allah and my carvel. Anyway, when you look at the chains of events, he gives an example of a plant where we could see it more. But if you look at any chain of events in our lives, how we got to here, how we got to there, how we met a friend, how we met a spouse, how we ended up in this matzuv and that matzuv, how we ended up with a job. Most times, it really, if you sit back and say, boy, I can't believe that that sprang from that. It's because it's not really what's happening. It's just, it's not really the cause of the effect. You have to think about how a person is born, right? The tipas alzera. It's so tirdus hanefesh means just knocks you out. You're just tiring yourself. Right, we're pushing to make something happen earlier than it's supposed to happen. So what does this mean? Because we're going to learn about hishtatlus. And certainly, you're allowed to, you have to, not just allowed to. Because Chavavah told you have to. But Chavavah will say soon that hishtatlus is an absolute obligation. So, because you don't know that you're being marked in Mashiach HaBore. You don't know that. You don't know when it's supposed to happen. Maybe Hashem is doing it through your tefillos. Maybe Hashem is doing it through your running around to different doctors. So you say, so then what's the practical tosa, what the Chavis HaVoda says? To that I answer, plenty. If you do it, you'll see. When a person believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deciding everything that happens to him, and he's just doing his shtadlus, that person will instinctively know, as I say, the neshama knows, the heart knows, the neshama knows. There's an instinct, a spiritual instinct. But you say, you know, I'm going over the line now. I'm going over the line. If I really believed that Hashem was going to decide, then I wouldn't be doing this. Tefillah, we don't know of any limitation, right? We know that Moshe Rabbeinu davened Kemenyan Vayeschana to get into Eretz Yisrael. You do the math, I don't know, whatever it is. No. Come on, boy, it's 400, 415, and 100. No, 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 it's 100. What do they say? Whatever it is. 500 and, what do they say? We're listening. So you dive in 500 and something tefillos to get into Eretz. So then Hashem said, stop. Hashem said, Ravloch, stop. And Chana and the Imols for 10 years davened. So we don't know. We don't know, but if we keep in mind that we can't, we will break, B-R-A-K-E, ourselves. We'll say, enough. This is too much, you know, I'm going over the line. It's hard to know. We're not Nevi'im. We don't really know. Tefillah's never too much.
Right.
Until Hashem says, Rav Loch. Sometimes it's happening for an ace, though. You have to be aware, though, that you're dying for an ace. And that's maybe inappropriate to dying for an ace. An ace goal, you know. I don't know, sometimes... Usually I say, if it's rendering you dysfunctional in the rest of your life, because you're doing so much ishtadlus, or you're thinking of ishtadlus, but you're running around and it renders you dysfunctional. Or if you find yourself being depressed, and you can't, you know, you're pessimistic and you're depressed and you're not happy, you're not besimcha. You're nervous, tense, irritable, yelling at your kids, yelling at your spouse. I do that every day, by the way. Then you know it's affecting you. That's why Perek Vav is so invaluable. Maybe we'll even get up to there one day. Because there he says, he gives you the portrayal of the Baal Bitachon. And he has seven things. And the Baal Bitachon looks like this, acts like this. The demeanor of the Baal Bitachon is like this. And then you sort of a checklist almost. You know, you look in the mirror and you say, my Baal Bitachon. Why am I frowning? I should be happy. Why am I pessimistic? I should be optimistic. Why am I sad? I should be happy. Why am I nervous? I should be calm. And so on and so forth. Why did I handle the bad news so terribly? And I got all depressed, and I was, I don't know, probably tachan means So, okay, so the concept is important. You can't delay what Hashem wants to be makdim. You're not going to get more money than Hashem says you could have. You can always accumulate chusim, that you can do. But more hishtadlus won't help you. That's a very important point. You want to do more mitzvahs? Welcome, Baruch Hashem. Yeah, you'll have more chusim. And you'll be zoicha for things. If it's good for you, you know, if it's not good for you, it's not going to happen. But he's saying that's, once you get past a bar of hishtadlus, then there's no such thing as doing more. More is not going to bring you closer to what you want. What may bring you closer to what you want, if it's good for you, is more mitzvahs and more schusim and more davening. But if you try more, he uses very strong terms. Chagalov does not mince words. Chalishus ha'akora ba'amitus yidiyaso. That's like being punched in the stomach. He says, you don't really understand what Hashem is. You don't really... Your emunah is lacking. You don't have a good grasp of how Hashem runs the world, or that Hashem runs the world. If you, who you're fighting with? So again, if there's something to do, we don't know what Hashem wants. Whether someone doesn't have children. So nowadays they have these machons, right? And they machon poor. It's the Haredi one. Sirchemet. What? Sirchemet, yeah. The one with the play, yeah. So they, you know, so now that's Hashem was Megala. It's like saying Hashem was Megala of cure for a disease, so I don't want to do it. It's a Hashgacha. That's silly. It's like every Hashgacha. It's like every Hashgacha. It's every Yishtatlus, I meant to say it's every Yishtatlus. And Hashem opened up the Mayonos HaChachma and allowed us to affect things that were heretofore just had to be accepted as Xeris Hashem. And now we see it for, you know, Hashem opened with Megala as a Chachma and sent a Refuah. And now you go to doctors and there's nothing wrong. No one says, you know, maybe when they started, it was like a little opposition, but then the Gedolim right away paskened that now that Hashem opened up those Mayonos HaChochma, so now it's normal Hishtadlus. Again, you don't go over the line. You always have to be weighing yourself. But the truth is, I hold, it seems to me, that you don't always have to be weighing what you're doing. The Baal Bitachon will develop what I call a Bitachon instinct. If you work on bitachon, you'll develop an instinct. And you say, maybe this is already too much. Maybe I'm stepping over the line. Or you say, no, this is normal. Or if you're not sure, you could ask someone. Or you could ask a rabbi, you could ask a mentor, you could ask a good friend. But you don't have to always, like, you know, this is called normal. This is called obsessive.
Well, did you see last week in the paper, there's a
frail
lady at 65.
Okay.
She knew about
44
years married.
I would have, when was it in the paper? A week ago. Two weeks ago, I would have called it a nice goalie. Okay.
So, but if she had been told to give up, then it's abnormal.
I would have told her to give up after 50. Forgive me, I should be talking to women this way. Did she have a recognition?
She must have gone to doctors with
hormonal treatments.
She went to Russia.
Okay. Anyway, Hashem opened up the Mayonos HaChochma. Hashem opened up the Mayonos. What was the desired din 20 years ago is today considered normal Hishtadlus. I don't know if it's a bracha, if it's the opposite. It's like water coming out of your zinc. Who doesn't hold? If you don't hold, it's a bracha. Raise your hand. Right? Nobody's raising their hand. Greatest bracha in the world. It really disconnects us from Hashem. If you look in the Pesukim in the Torah, and you look at the Gemaras, will there be enough water? Will I have something to drink? Will I have water to do my laundry with? Will I have water to wash with? was uppermost on their mind, and they always thought of Hashem and davened to Hashem and asked for water. And now water doesn't have that power anymore. And Munas is wrong. Water doesn't have that power. We don't live in an agricultural society. We're going to the store. There's going to be tomatoes on the shelf. Yeah, drought. This drought. That drought. To us, it's all a question of money.
Right.
Oh, how come tomatoes cost so much this week? Oh, there was a drought in Texas, not California. Texas has all the water. Yeah. Texas should be shipping water to California. That's what I think. Yeah, that's what that is. So it's a bracha, and I'm not going to sit here saying, we should go back to the days where you had big cisterns in your backyard and hope that it rained enough in the winter. I don't know, it is a little, it does add to the Hesterponim. It adds to the Hesterponim, just like we're living in an age of Hesterponim, and it's getting worse, more and more Hester. Apparently, it looks like more and more Hester until that huge gilui, boom, because as the Ramchal explains, the greater the Hester, the greater the gilui, and you know, you feel that happening. But all these things that are modern conveniences, and the supermarkets, and water on tap, it really does disconnect us from Hashem. It has a downside to it. I'm not brave enough to go build a log cabin somewhere in the woods. Not only am I not brave enough, but I wouldn't have the first idea how to build a log cabin. But we should realize there's a downside to living like this. There's a downside to the Industrial Revolution. There's a downside to running water. Running water in Israel is what? 50 years old. When they had when they lived in 1948, there was no, until Mayanov, Makarov, whatever it's called, took over, right? And they made a national grid. I don't know if that's not the right word, grid for electricity. They made a thing for water. They dried up a lot of streams in Eretz Israel. People that know geography, that know the country, that know Eretz Israel well, no pun intended, they know they had to dry up a lot of the springs because they diverted a lot of Mayanos. So look, nobody doesn't want to be able to walk. Yeah. And so the big serious nefesh is, you have to press a button to get hot water. Oh, we have hot water whenever we want. That's the big serious nefesh. But I still have it in the Yerushalayim. I have to press a button. Except that not in the summer. We have a good shemesh.
Now we have electricity and telephones that are not working constantly.
But that's definitely that the modern, as history goes on, gets closer to Mashiach, the Hester becomes more and more. That's why it's so important to learn Shara B'Tach. Okay. That's why we keep learning it.